I want to give a testimony sermon this morning on how to love missionaries and missionaries we get to meet who are connected with the Alliance, which we are all connected with in some manner, some for many years and some for a short time. And I didn't know anything about Alliance missionaries till I was about 30 years old, so I'm a little bit late in supporting the good work there. Wasn't in an Alliance church until that time. And so I want you to look at the flags around the room. We were, I didn't get to Steve on this one, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. When I look at those flags, they are representative of nations where we send missionaries to. That is the Christian Missionary Alliance do that. And I was looking at those flags and asking myself, how many countries do I know by their flag for sure? I think there's 26, 27 up. And I get one for free. This is Indonesia, automatic. So I think grand total, where I'm coming from, I am still learning on how to follow missions well and be 100% supportive of what the missionaries do. That's where my heart is. My head has to catch up with my heart. I know about four countries for sure of the flags that are hung up. Steve probably knows about, I'm going to say 10, give him a fair shake. Bob, who's one of the smartest ones in the room, knows. He said he knows 12. And so probably the reason I mention that is that most of us are still growing in how to be a good supporter of missions. And be hungry to grow wherever you're at. Maybe you didn't, I can't name any flag, you know. Maybe if that's where you're at, God will start with you there. Not just to know where the flag is geographically, but to have a heart for the people there who Jesus loves and who he sends the good news of himself to. So that's where we want to do from the Lord, not just because it's missionary conference time. We want to live that way. Shortly after I received Christ at age 16, I sensed that believers had the privilege and responsibility of sharing the good news with other people. I think if Christ is in your heart, you have a sense of that. And I read in the Bible, Jesus said, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." He said, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." So Jesus sent by the Father, the church sent by Jesus. That's where we're at. That's a part of our enthusiasm and commitment in our hearts. He said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." That's what Jesus said. He has the authority. He loves the people. He sends us to the people. And Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit will give you the ability to be my witnesses where you live and even to the ends of the earth." So one thing I knew as a young Christian, I can't be an effective witness or help others to do so unless I'm immersed in God. Our Sunday school teacher did an effective job of explaining that today. Unless God is number one in my heart, I'm not going to be doing anybody any favors and passing him on. Okay, well, they will say, "Well, God's a part of your life, but not a big part, so why even bother?" But for him to be number one in our souls and then be passed on to others with the missionary call. I think if you're a believer in Christ, you have a 100% heart for missions or growing into it. If you've yet to receive Christ, missions is like, you know, it's a fun cultural thing for you or an annoyance, either one. But I think if you really know the Lord, you're going to be into what the Lord's into. If you really know the Lord, you'll be into what the Lord's into. He is into missions. Let the Holy Spirit check you on that one. There's a quote from Abraham Kuyper who said at one time, "There's not one inch of the universe about which Jesus Christ did not say, 'This belongs to me.'" That's an aspiring quote. Just think of the whole universe. Not one inch of the universe about which Jesus doesn't say, "This belongs to me." Just apply that to the people that God has created. Not one person on the earth about which Jesus does not say. I died for this one. This one is supposed to belong to me. And if the person rejects him or doesn't have a chance to respond to him, then the Lord would, he wants to make up that bridge by sending good news to others. So what motivated me to be interested in missions as I grew as a Christian, and my little knowledge that I just proved to you with the flags there, was that I knew what Jesus could do for somebody's heart. Bring forgiveness, his presence, the gift of heaven, and his leading. And I just, you know, thought, hey, if Jesus would do that for me, then I think everybody should have the opportunity to have him impact their lives with those gifts and the gift of himself. So to me, it's an open door thing. It's a fairness thing. And missions to me also is a root for the underdog thing, because missionaries are underdogs. But, you know, in our life, sports teams compete, for example, I'll find myself rooting for the underdog. And that's the team with the least talent and, you know, least ability. And my family kids me, they say, whoever dad roots for, root for the other team because that's the one's going to win. But when it comes to this world, the lost people are the underdogs. I don't know if you ever thought of it that way. But Jesus looked on them. He had compassion. He says, I'm coming for them. The lost person doesn't have hope, doesn't have assurance of heaven, doesn't have Jesus as a friend, and they feel God doesn't want to have anything to do with me. That's a bad way to live. And Jesus would come to them with himself. I'm reminded of part of a song that sung by orphans that I think symbolizes a lost person's life, full of sorrow life, no tomorrow life. That's the heart of a lost person. Full of sorrow life, no tomorrow life. There's nothing. And Christ would come and say, I'm the life, I'm the resurrection, I'm the truth, and bring hope there. So, some of the things I want to pass on to you, how can we love missionaries, Alliance missionaries that we team up with because we get to know them? Number one, realize they're sent by Christ. Set apart, sent by Christ. So team up with them because Jesus is the one who sends them. The Bible says, Jesus tells us, as the Father sent me, so send I you. I got a sense of David Kindervater, missionary being sent by Christ 2 years ago. He just kind of had that drive in his soul. And just to tell you a little bit about him, grew up in, if you remember, around the Meadville, Pennsylvania area, small town, western Pennsylvania. A people person, fairly outgoing, has gifts in music. And he was sent to Japan to share Christ with the Japanese people. And the Japanese culture is a very focused culture on work. That's what they're interested in. Work. Work 14 hours a day, 16 hours a day. That's the way you live. That's what makes your life valuable. So he's sent over there. And first thing he notices, if you remember meeting him, he said that the Japanese people, they don't look at anybody. You know, they put their head down. They don't look at anybody. They don't talk to anybody. They're interested in going to work. That's it. And he said, boy, what an adjustment he had to make being somebody who was used to connecting with others easily and then starting from scratch, trying to connect with people who did not want to converse. Well, the Lord worked in his life with patience, with music, and he discovered along with some others that the Japanese culture loved black gospel music. And so they started these choirs singing about the Lord. And almost everybody in the choir didn't know the Lord, but they said, well, we're going to sing these words because we like it. And so they get to know the Lord through the truth of the song as they sing it. I mean, when you could do that, you've had your heart changed by a song, you know. You start singing it and you think, I don't even know if I believe this. And next thing you know, that's one of your favorites. And so the Lord gets to the people through David. Why was he able to see some open doors? Because he was sent by Christ. Know that every missionary is sent by Christ. We get to be a part of that. And that's the guy who goes to the far culture. To illustrate it in our church, how faithful the Lord has been. Let's say the first person to ever receive Christ was Virginia back in when the Lord walked there. Just as an example. Virginia knows I love her, so she's forgiven me already. But Virginia, faithful as she is, she spread the word to this whole group. And they've heard about Christ, and the gospel's all around this group. And then to this group, let's say the congregation represents the whole world. And then this group, they have the gospel all around them, Bibles and radio and Christian internet and all this. All these people know the Lord. But none of these people in the last pew yet heard about the Lord. Approximately one-fourth of the world, they don't know anything about Jesus. They would say, Jesus who? And so what would our motivation be? God, first of all, God is so faithful to have spread the word so far in the world. You know, and we have to face it. We're not always on fire with that task. But He did it anyway. How faithful He is to spread the word from Jerusalem all the way to about 5 out of 6 billion people in the world. 1 billion left. Here they are, right there. What do you think we would do? No Bible over there. No church over there. No Christian radio over there. No Christian music over there. No K-Love over there. You know, all that. We would say, hey, we'll send a couple people over there. And they'll spread the good news that Jesus is Lord. And we'll try to be faithful where we're at. That's the missionary call sent by Christ. That's what we want to be a part of. And then realize the missionary is set apart by prayer. Pray for them. They want to be prayed for more than anything else. Learned this from missionary Bob Underwood, missionary to West Africa for about 40 years. And he lived in the dust and the mud of Africa for most of his times. And he was a faithful missionary, you know, just serving God in a good way. And he said the best years of his missionary life was the last 4 years where he served, because the missionaries got together and they realized we're not asking God for help like we really need to. We're not praying as much as we're doing other things. So they started praying more often together, strengthening their devotional life, and they got people back in the States to pray for them. And he said, the last 4 years of his missionary life was just like a hurricane blew through his own soul. He was closer to the Lord. He was more effective in reaching others. And so to know the importance of praying for the missionary, that's what they would like us to do. You know, that God give us a heart to do that, to motivate. Last year, Tom and Tina Frelick, Uruguay. That's where they're at now. Tom had a shattered kneecap. Remember, he was recovering from that. He goes to Uruguay, then he has cancer surgery. I mean, his dear wife Tina was getting over the fatigue syndrome. And so they needed people just to hold them up physically. But they're effectively serving. Paul said in Colossians 4, pray for us that a door would be opened for the good news. Pray for the missionary, please. The ones you remember, the ones you'll meet. Again, start where you're at. You say, well, Jim Kendall, he's the first missionary, you know, sent overseas that I even remembered, besides Rachel Wilson. Start with them two, those two. Last way to love a missionary, give gifts to support their work. In our fellowship, you mark your envelope missions, and it goes to support people getting where they need to get. I want to read from 2 Corinthians 5, how the Lord, actually 2 Corinthians 8, how the Lord can work. And I'll just put the Alliance Church instead of Macedonian churches. This is how we could respond to the open door to give. Paul said, hey, brothers, we want you to know about the grace given to the Norwegian Alliance Church. Okay, the grace was given to them, so we felt blessed. Out of our most severe trial, and our overflowing joy in extreme poverty. We had needs. Nevertheless, we were welled up with rich generosity. Okay, so here's a church in history. They didn't have a lot, but they said, hey, we'll be happy to give whatever we can. And Paul said, I testify they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. And they earnestly pleaded with us to have the privilege of sharing. So that would be like if Jim Kendall came and he didn't say nothing about giving. He didn't say, you know, I hope you guys keep giving so I can keep telling the good news. Didn't mention it at all. But we all went up to him and we said, we earnestly plead with you to give us the opportunity to keep you sharing Christ with others. You know, and we want to do that with our gifts. So that's a Bible model. You do it from the internal love you have for Christ and for the people who are lost. Last example is how to love a missionary. Give gifts because people like David Thompson then can get the job done. David Thompson is a missionary in West Africa. He is a medical doctor. So he got all the training medical doctors get. And then he goes to West Africa to serve for 35 years. And in West Africa, again, he's in a mud and dust environment. He said he spent his first number of years there. They give him a building about the size of the house you live in. And they said, that's your hospital. But it's a lot more run down. And they said, you know, do the best you can as people come. There's a couple tables in the house, a couple chairs. God bless, you know. We'll be praying for you. Well, I don't know what else they do for him. He said he spent the first couple years digging latrines, chasing goats away from the medical supplies, and treating 50 patients a day. You can check to see if your family physician, you know, do they do 50 patients a day? Probably not. But he throws his heart into it and stays the course for 35 years. Now, and he's supported by people praying and just sending, you know, here I am here, over here in North Huntington. I give $5 to missions, you know, in the month of October, whatever it is. So he stays on the field. Right now in his area in Gabon, the hospital is as big as this building, 145 beds. Doctors from other African nations come to that hospital to learn how to be a good physician so they can go treat others also. And God just had that ministry grow strong with the good news of Christ and the help that Christ would bring. And that's because, you know, people, just average people like you and I, we gave in the pew. We said, Lord, I don't even know where this is going. This is going to help the missionaries we send, 800 of them, to 80 nations or something like that. And they go and God works. And we do it because we know what Jesus is into. He is into that. 2 weeks from now, I'm going to talk about the supposed competition between reaching people around us and reaching the far away people. There's no competition in God's heart about that. Just to bless Virginia again, she has a daughter in Ethiopia. She also has daughters in Western Pennsylvania. She cares about them both. So the loved ones of Christ, he cares about the far away ones and the ones who have been already reached. But ask God to change your heart when you meet Jim and to change Jim's heart when he meets us. And we're just going to see a minute scripture motivation to remember our calling. This is a picture of the gospel in Mongolia, which needs the Lord.